rich blessing and privilege for Sister Florence and myself to be with you once again. Oh, we have so many fond memories of our fellowship in the past with you brethren here. We bring you the love and the greetings of your brethren in Chicago who wanted to be remembered to you. You know, when we reflect upon this hymn, the last verse really kind of thrills us. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright, shining as the sun, something our finite minds can't even begin to comprehend. For a few moments today, we'd like to consider the wonderful opportunity and privilege that has been offered to us to know the divine plan that our Heavenly Father has to bless, oh, not just ourselves, but everyone who has ever lived. The joys that we can see that mankind will have in the kingdom. It should just make us bow in humble adoration and think about, oh, the wonder of our wonderful God. We echo the words of David in the 72nd Psalm, "Blessed be the Lord God, who only doeth wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever." Oh, our Heavenly Father has shared with us his glorious plan of the ages. We know how the Lord dealt in past ages with his faithful patriarchs, with Israel. We know where we are in the stream of time and that his kingdom will soon be set up in full power and glory. A hymn that expresses this so well is "Our King is Marching On." Let's join in singing "Our King is Marching On." Of wrath or store. I see the flaming tempest of his swift descending sword. Our King is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Our King is marching on. Promise to precede a second birth. I read his righteous sentence in the crumbling thrones of earth. Our King is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Our King is marching. Sounding, and our King knows no defeat. He will sift out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Be swift, my soul, to welcome him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our King is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory. Through the years, as we endeavor to serve our Heavenly Father, we want to do with such great deal, yet somehow, as we begin to age, our lives are very full. Our responsibilities of work and family and ecclesia increase. And yet what really counts is that we do all that we can. It doesn't have to be big things, but are we doing all that we can with our abilities and time? Oh, for the older brethren, we'd come a little bit more feeble. We tire faster. And we sometimes wonder, what can we do for the Lord? I'd like to read a story that fits in nicely with these feelings. It has a wonderful lesson for us. It's a true story about the famous violinist Yitzhak Perlman. He contracted polio as a youngster, so could never play and run as all the other children did. But his mother would not let him feel sorry for himself and had him learn to play the violin. Little by little, he became an outstanding violinist. The day came when he was to give a concert at the Lincoln Center in New York City. And if you've ever been to a Perelman concert or saw it, you know that getting on stage is no small achievement for him. He was stricken with his polio as a child, and so he had braces on both legs, and he walked with the aid of two crutches. To see him walk across the stage one step at a time, kind of painfully and slowly, is kind of unforgettable sight. It's painfully as he walks, yet majestically, until he reaches his chair. And then he sits down slowly, puts his crutches on the floor, undoes the claps on his legs, tucks one foot back of the other and extends the other foot forward. He bends down and picks up his violin, puts it under his chin, nods to the conductor, and then they proceed to play. But this time, something went wrong. Just as he finished the first few bars, one of the strings on his violin snapped. You could hear it snap all the way in the back of the auditorium like a gunshot. Well, there was no mistaking what that would mean. People were there that night, thought, well, he'd have to get up, leave, and get another violin and come back. But he didn't. Instead, he waited a moment, closed his eyes, and then signaled the conductor to begin again. And the orchestra began again. And he played from where he had left off. And he played with such passion and such power and purity as they had never heard before. Of course, anyone knows that it's impossible to play a symphonic work with just three strings. I know that, and you know that. But that night, Yitzhak Perelman refused to know that. You could see him modulating, changing, recomposing the piece in his mind. At one point, it sounded like he was detuning the strings to get new sounds from them that they had never made before. And when he finished, there was an awesome silence in the room. There was an extraordinary outburst of applause from every corner of the auditorium to show how much they appreciated what he had done. He smiled, wiped the sweat from his brow, raised his bow to quiet us, and then he said, not boastfully, but in a quiet, pensive, reverent tone, "You know, sometimes it is the artist's task to find out how much music you can still make with what you have left." What a powerful thought that is. Perhaps that is the way of life, not just for artists, but really for all of us. So perhaps our task in this shaky, fast-changing, bewildering world in which we live is to make music, at first with all that we're capable of in our youth, and then when it is no longer possible to do so in the same fervency as before because of age, to make music to the glory of our Heavenly Father with whatever you have left. The lesson for us is that God is the master musician and we are the imperfect instruments. But in the hands of the master, even a broken and incomplete instrument can make beautiful music. We can make beautiful music with whatever energy and time we have, at first with full fervency, and then when that is no longer possible, to make music to the glory of God with what we have left. So let's join in singing now, "The Harvest and the Opportunity that you and I and all of the brethren have to bring glory to God in putting forth His glorious message in this harvest time. I'd like to read a bit of prose that has some questions attached. Are you happy, my brother, in Jesus today, as you were when you first started out in the way? Is your confidence still just as strong in the Lord as it was when you first started to study His Word? Many trials you've had as you've traveled along. Is your joy in the Lord still your strength and your song? Can you say with assurance, He leadeth me still, and find all your joy in doing His will? Is your faith just as strong? Is your hope just as bright? Are you faithfully striving to walk in the light? Are your eyes ever centered on Jesus, your goal? Is your whole life still under the Father's control? Can you sing while you're passing through sorrow's dark veil, when your prayers for relief do not seem to avail? Can you still keep on trusting right on to the end, when it seems as though on earth you haven't a friend? Is the sword of the Spirit still clasped in your hand? Are you ready to follow each word of command, pressing valiantly on in the strength of the Lord, till He says, 'Tis enough, you have gained your reward'? If to all of these questions your answer is yes, and it fills you with joy His dear name to confess, what a joy it will give to your Father above, and your life will forever be filled with His love. Are we happy in Jesus today? Is our joy in the Lord still strong? Is our faith ever getting stronger? Can we sing while passing through trials? Is the sword of the Spirit still clasped in our hands? And if we can answer yes to all of these, we are joy to our Father above. I'd like to tell you the story in back of our next hymn entitled Precious Lord. Those of you who were at General Convention heard the story, but it's a touching one. Bears repeating. The composer of this hymn wrote it when he was only 32. He was a fairly new husband. When one hot August afternoon he had to go to St. Louis, where he was featured soloist at a large recital meeting, his wife was in the last month of pregnancy with their first child. The next night, in the steaming St. Louis heat, the crowd called on him to sing again and again. And when he finally sat down, a boy ran up with a telegram containing the words, "Your wife just died." He rushed home and discovered his wife had given birth to a boy. But that night, the baby also died. He buried his wife and little boy together in the same casket, and then became completely despondent. He felt God had done him an injustice, and he didn't want to write any more hymns. But then one day a friend took him to a music school in the neighborhood. It was quiet, and as his hands began to touch the keys, something happened. Suddenly he felt at peace. And though he could reach out and almost touch God, the melody just seemed to fall into place. He wrote, "As the Lord gave me these words and melody, He also healed my spirit." I learned that when we are in our deepest grief, when we feel farthest from God, this is when He is the closest, when we're most open to His restoring power. And so I go on living for God willingly and joyfully until that day comes when He'll take me and gently lead me home. Let's join in singing the hymn that he wrote, "Precious Lord, Lead Me Home." It may not be familiar to all of brethren, so Florence will play it through once and we could listen to the melody. A group of students were asked to list what they thought were the present seven wonders of the world. Though there were some disagreements, the following received the most votes: Egypt's Great Pyramids, the Taj Mahal, the Grand Canyon, the Panama Canal, the Empire State Building, St. Peter's Basilica, and China's Great Wall. And while gathering the votes, the teacher asked that, she noted rather that one student had not finished her paper yet. And so she asked the girl as if she was having trouble with her list. And the girl replied, "Well, yes, a little. I couldn't quite make up my mind because there are so many." The teacher said, "Well, tell us what you have and maybe we can help." And the girl hesitated a bit and then she began to read. "I think the seven wonders of the world are to see, to hear, to touch, to taste, to feel, to laugh, and to love." The room was so quiet, you could have heard a pin drop. The things we overlook as simple and ordinary and that we take for granted are truly the most wonderful, wondrous qualities there are. A gentle reminder that the most precious things in life cannot be built by hand or bought by man. Such a profound list. As we get older, we start to lose our sight, our hearing, and it's then that we appreciate them more than ever. May we never take these seven wonders for granted, but always and ever thank God for how he has made his wondrous creatures and for the privileges that we have in using them. Let's join now in singing that beautiful hymn, "How Great Thou Art, for truly it was our Heavenly Father and our Lord who designed us, not only designed us, prepared, but prepared a plan from before the foundation of the world that would bless all the families of the earth."
Great Thou Art.
One of the joys we have on this side of the veil is serving our brethren. To serve means to assist or be of use. And when we serve, we reach out to meet the needs of others. True service is not about grudgingly doing for others, but because of, how will it look if I don't? Oh, no. But it's an act of love that flows from within our heart, wanting to help and serve one another. True servants give not just with their hands, but with their hearts. And as we serve others, we develop friendships. Friendships that we so enjoy here at this convention, in the past, that will last forever. To be a friend, we must be there, encouraging, cheering, empathizing, crying at times, rejoicing together. It's all part of the package of friendship. So for a few moments, let's sing together the beautiful hymn, Precious Memories, as we view some of the friendships that we have shared through the years. Florence will play it through once to refresh the melody. Beautiful brethren, all part of our family in the Lord. But we also have a greater friendship, and that is with our Lord Jesus, who knows our every need, who's ever faithful to share our joys and our sorrows, and to hold our hand to guide us in all things. The hymn "Without Him" expresses all that He did for us. Through Jesus, the debt's been paid. He humbled himself. He went from commanding angels to sleeping in the straw. from holding stars to clutching Mary's finger. The palm that held the universe took the nail of a soldier. Why? Because that's what love does. This is the great sacrifice of our Lord and Savior. It's been a full day, brethren. To end our service, let's join in singing a beautiful hymn, Abide With Me, 'Tis Eventide.
Thank you, Brother Tabak, for those inspiring and wonderful words that help wrap up our day of blessing and fellowship here at Convention. So we're trying to think of a unifying theme, and I'm not able to put my finger on it, but one thought that did seem to be emphasized is that we are, our primary purpose to be here is to glorify our Heavenly Father in all things that we do. And we appreciated that message that we received just now and previous sessions. And so that's the theme we all want to carry forth in all that we ever do. Before we have Brother Tabak close with a word of prayer, we would like to have the announcement again to remind the brethren that there will be an Africa Committee meeting at 8:15 at room 201. That's on this level. Don't go down the stairs, go past the elevator, and it's the first room on the left, just past the elevator on this level, room 201, and all are invited to go, to attend. And so we will close this day now, and tomorrow the session starts at 9:30, and Brother Richard Gamble is our chairman. So let us all rise now, and then Brother Tavak will close this day with a word of prayer.
Our most loving Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before Thy hallowed presence to praise, honor, and glorify Thee for all Thy goodness to us, for calling us out of darkness into this marvelous light, for Thy glorious plan that will bless not just us, but everyone who has ever lived, and countless ages to come, new creations will also receive of Thy love and of Thy goodness. Continue with us now as we go to our places of rest for the night, that if it be Thy will, we might commune together again on tomorrow to further drink in messages of truth from Thy word. And so we leave ourselves now in Thy loving care, praying in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.